So let me read you out of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. First of all, and I like that, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings. Isn't it interesting that in a list of prayers and petitions, there's this thing called thanksgivings, be made on behalf of all men? So when we pray, when we petition God, and when we give him thanks, it's on behalf of all men. For kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in godliness and dignity. Isn't it wonderful that our Father's will is that we live in a peaceful state? We have so much turmoil, we almost think that that's the status quo that's supposed to be. But in his heart, he wants us to live a quiet life. You know, a lot of people just say, well, he puts us all on you, so whatever doesn't kill you, you know, will make you stronger. It's not saying those things aren't true, but I think it's good to know that God would rather us be at peace. And that we can pray that way. This is good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ. It has already been brought out today, but isn't it wonderful just to keep it simple, our simple devotion to Christ, that he is the only way? And it is amazing how mankind adds so many rules for everybody else. And it sounds so right when you hear a preacher come up and say, boy, you got to do this and got to do that. And I want to just say this, it's not on my subject today, but you know, if you really come into a relationship with God and love him, you're going to put away the deeds of the flesh. It will come naturally from the inside. But if you try to just stop sinning on the outside to please him, you're just in a losing battle. Even if you win, you lose. So what we're talking about is, we're not talking about just loose living. We're talking about as you walk with the Lord and he comes into your heart more and more, you become like him. And there's no law against all the good things. Just out of the abundance of the heart, good things start coming out of you. And you start putting away, and we all have the thing of deeds of the flesh that we have to kind of send away all the time. But the Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill those things. So the focus needs to be on this incredible relationship we have with Jesus. Amen? So when you hear all the other guys preaching hardcore down people's lives, just remember what Jody shared, what the Word shares. He didn't come to judge them. He came to save them. And we should have the same attitude. And we will as we walk with him. But I'm going to go back to this. There's actually thanksgivings is a powerful thing that we can do. And then 2 Corinthians reads like this. It says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. There's just volumes of life in that, isn't there? That he even gives us the seeds that we need to plant. We don't even have to come up with that. And he will multiply our seed. Isn't that exciting? As we go into another year, we're believing that we'll multiply our seeds to sow into people's lives. And then also the increase of the harvest of your righteousness, which has always intrigued me. What is a harvest of righteousness? But a harvest of being the way you should be, the way you're designed to be. And goes on to say... I kind of put these in two different places. So, and you will be enriched in everything with all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Again, thanksgiving is kind of like, I don't know what you want to call it, a substance or something, a reality, that it's a thing that while we're generous in our love and generous in our giving, it will produce thanksgiving to God. So somehow in all this, there's a real importance to giving thanks. For the ministry of this service is not only fully, and this part of what he's talking about was the Corinthians had promised to send a bunch of money to help the Jews out. And Paul was just saying, let's follow through on this and make the commitment work, you know. So he's talking about this ministry of giving to the needy. He says, for the ministry of this service is not fully, not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. You know, whenever I talk to the Albanian pastors, it is just, I'm thankful. We're so thankful. We're so thankful for believers. We're so thankful for you. We're so thankful to God for our relationship and the encouragement and all that. And it's producing an overflow of thanksgiving to God. And I just, again, don't underestimate the importance of giving thanksgiving to God. It's something real. It's something that is powerful, because the proof of given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them all. While they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. And there's many other scriptures on thanksgiving, but being thankful to God. You know, so today we're going to just take some time to do the word, okay, and be thankful to God. So if you want to kind of start off, you know, I'd like to thank God, you know, for this or that. And so we're going to open it up. The camera only goes to about the aisles, so if you want to come out in the aisle, that'd be great. If not, not, or if you want to come up here and talk to everybody, that's great. But I want to get it on recording. And by the way, if you got something you want to share and you don't want it out on the internet, just tell Richard, he'll cut you out. He's real good at cutting out. Thanks. So who would like to start? Just being, yeah, thank you, Barb. I'm going to call on people if you don't.
Every morning when I wake up, the first thing that comes out of my breath is, thank you, Lord, for this day and all our blessings. And I believe in prayer. I thank God for prayer, answered prayers every day. One reason, there's no reason, just I believe. My brother-in-law has liver cancer, colon cancer, and cancer on his neck. And we know how many times have we prayed and prayed and prayed for him for healing. And my sister called me yesterday and said that the cancer on his colon and his liver is gone. Wow. And the cancer on his neck is shrinking. And I thank God again every day for answered prayers.
Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for that.
Yes, I have to say the power of prayer. It transcends distance. It transcends anything. And the power of prayer. And I thank God because my heart goes out. He said in his word that to love the orphans and the widows, such a pure religion. And a gift makes room for you. So I was just thinking about this time of year. A smile is a gift. A handshake is a gift. Just talking to people is a gift. But at this time of the year, there's Operation Christmas Child. Boxes go all over the world. Countries that have never heard the gospel, they're working on little kids, and they open these boxes and these gifts. Just open the world for the gospel. And I have a dear friend in South Africa named Mitch, and he has gardens, and they put the women to work, and their ministry is in the dump. But here you see Facebook, the real dump. But they have children in school and called Hope Centers. Anyway, so these big gardens, they can grow all year around. And here, all these kids come walking, and you see them on Facebook with cabbages on the top of their heads. So every household got a cabbage Well, they can grow all year round. So the power of God that we give, and I used to say to Larry, my $7 in the hands of God can do a whole lot compared to the millions that we might want to give. But I thank God for Samaritan's Purse, for Operation Christmas Child, for One Child, for Lydia's Mission. That's Mitch's thing. And I just thank God that children are being reached, but it opens doors. God's doing mighty things. He is. And I just praise God that we can be a part of it.
We are a part of it. By the way, just so you know, you just gave $300 extra to Elir. They pour out a whole lot of energy at Christmas time to all the kids in the community and stuff. And they tie in with, I think, Samaritan Purse. But they have hundreds of boxes that they take to poor people and kids. And it's the only thing they're going to get. And plus, they put the gospel in there. And so it's one of their bigger outreaches. And you guys we're involved in that right now on literally hundreds of kids in Albania getting a gift and getting the gospel and a party. I told them, throw a bigger party. So, somebody else. Was that you, Luke, coming up for? Oh, you just been just getting your coffee.
Life's winning.
Well, obviously, I'm thankful for every day I can breathe. And we were gone for 17 days, and I was on oxygen, well, off oxygen probably 95% of the time, so praise the Lord. And I'm thankful for my relationship with Jesus Christ. But most of all, I'm thankful for, too, is our prayer family here and around the world, because I know John has probably spread my name out somewhere over there. But the power of prayer is definitely not to be taken for granted. It is powerful. I just praise the Lord for it.
Oh, thanks. Oh, I am just thankful for this church and this community. And, you know, the Black Hills, Pastor John has said numerous times that there's things happening here, and boy, can we feel it, and we are so thankful for that and for all of you.
Mine's just a simple thing. I'm just thankful for the Word. And thank you that the Word says that we're never alone, that it's always with us. And even when we don't feel, we are alone, we are not alone. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And this year, I'm thankful for the Word in Isaiah 54. It says, the Lord your Maker is your husband. And so I've been standing on that this season and to help me get me through. And I'm thankful for all of those that have come alongside me to help me make it through.
Well, I'm not one to sit down, so I'm just going to get right up and show you can see me. I was at Aspen Grove, and I honestly cherish so much my relationship with the Lord. And when you live alone, you have more opportunity to talk to God than you do if you live with someone, because they always interrupt. But I was at Aspen Grove with my mom, and we were having dinner or lunch. It was their Christmas thing, and they do it so very well. And I just happened to sit with a couple ladies, one that I had known before, but, you know, didn't know her real well, and so I was trying to pull up the memory bank, and she was trying to do the same with me, and we were trying to connect. And this particular person, well, she knew me through my mother-in-law, actually, and she goes, I know all about you, and blah, 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 and I'm like, okay, well, is that good or bad? And anyway, so she was a dear friend of my mother-in-law, so that was kind of fun. But then, through the course of conversation, she said, I am so thankful for John and Elisa. And she goes, they have had my back in so many ways. And I thought, how did they have their back? And truthfully, I've known this person for a very long time, but I don't really know specifically how you had their back. But I can tell you who it was afterwards. But anyway, it was just like, because she's never come to the church and, you know, never really participated in any of the activities in the church. But she definitely felt the love and the presence and the support of John and Elisa. And I thought, what a beautiful thing to know, you know, that in the community, you're keeping someone upright and you're keeping them going forward through all of there. And there were some things, you know, that she had life hurts and whatever, and she was still working through them. But it was such a God-ordained conversation. And then in addition to that, I met a woman across from me, and she was a new resident to Aspen, and she had a brain tumor and had had multiple surgeries, and she's from Minnesota and whatever else. And, you know, and this person and I were sharing our testimony about Jesus and how he's gotten us through and kind of sharing our victory laps, walking with the Lord and what have you. And she just chimed right in, and it was like, yes, he is the one that has got me through. And her family's in Minnesota, and she's here because she needs to be closer to medical care and what have you. I don't know all the logistics, and she's struggling to connect her words and to walk and talk. But here she was and had gone through so much trauma, but she was just so very thankful to be alive. And she was so very thankful to be in Aspen. And she was so very thankful to be at the table and have this conversation. And I just walked away and I thought, oh my goodness, thankfulness. What a gift. What a gift. Coming from all different avenues.
Amen. All right. The other side's starting to try to catch up here.
There was a couple things that came into my head. One was, I know a lot of people sometimes complain about their job and things, but I really am thankful for the job I do. You know, it's not to say that, you know, everyday teaching school is fun and you always just feel like you've reached everyone. But at the same time, you do feel like I do feel like I'm in a calling that God's put me into since I was a little kid to tell me that's what I should do. And I enjoy it. And the other thing is just to echo what you said over here that, you know, I'm just thankful for our church and our church family. I know that right after the fire, you know, I think a lot of people just felt like that sense of kind of panic, what now, you know, what's that mean for us? And I think we didn't give ourselves credit enough for just how strong we are as a family and that we would come back together. Just didn't know how it looked at the time. So, and so we're seeing that, you know, start to work itself out now too. And so I'm just thankful for that too. Yeah.
So thankful we got people out and about. Peter? Well, Richard's going to come, and then you can come. He's got cookies for everybody.
I'm so very thankful for friends right now. House goes on the market tomorrow because I've had a lot of help from friends. And I there's been so many of you who've helped that I'm just so grateful. So probably going to be organizing another work day, though, because I got a garage clean out now, so... Thank you, everybody that's helped very much.
Yes.
All right, Peter, come on up. This is Peter Blake. Some of you don't know. He helps out with children's ministry. He and his wife came from, the last place he lived was Alaska. And God supernaturally led him to Rapid City and supernaturally led him to us. And it's just been really awesome.
So, We dealt with some health issues in the family a couple weeks ago, right after Thanksgiving. Our 7-year-old Caleb, he got pretty sick with the flu, and we ended up taking him to the emergency room 2 times the week after Thanksgiving, and the second time he ended up being in the hospital for 2 days. Some of you probably knew about this. But at the time, when Steph decided to take him into the hospital, he was having trouble breathing, and it was pretty dicey. I was a little bit out of it. I had a 104-degree fever and was laying in bed, and Louise was at home taking care of me. And but at that time, she took him to the hospital, and Steph and I talked for a couple minutes, and we ended up talking to John and Jenna Lamb, and Jenna and John both came to the hospital and stood there with Steph. I couldn't be there. and when Caleb was in the hospital bed. And I tell you what, that was remarkable testimony to the body of Christ. And, you know, he mentioned we were in Alaska for 5.5, 6 years. I think there was a lot of good things that transpired with us being up there. One thing that was difficult was we looked into being a part of different churches, and nothing really quite fit. So we went for about 5.5 years without being a part of a church family. And it kind of goes back to, you don't really know what you have until you don't have it, you know. And we came down here, and man, I tell you, it's been just such a blessing to be part of this family. And I know that's been mentioned a few times, but to just be a member of the body of Christ and to know that there's people here that we can trust, that love us, that will stick with us through thick and thin. And I don't know, it was really humbling and a great way to see God, to see God's presence in this situation. It was just, and you know, Steph would probably cry if she was telling you about this, but it was just, when the body of Christ showed up there with us and with her, it was, we're good. We knew that God had this taken care of. So.
I think it's important to know that this really pleases God when we love one another. And Jesus prayed, I pray that they may be one like we're one. So we give praise and thanksgiving to him, but he gets thrilled when we actually get to love one another and stretch out. And it's a powerful thing. There is power. The kingdom of God is power. There's power when we show up and care for each other. And we've been through a lot as a body, like any other body, but I'm just grateful. You realize, for Lisa and I, you know, Jimmy Bratcher and Sherry once said, you guys are pastoring the city of Sturgis. I said, no, not for a very small portion. He said, no, you don't understand. You're pastoring the city. And I'd have to say, we've been here 40 years. That's a real long time for a pastor to be in one city. And we're the old dogs. I mean, nobody's going to beat us until we leave for the length of it. At the same time, I got to honestly say, we spend a lot of time ministering people that have never been here. All the time. And that's possible because of all your giving and your presence. And even the people overseas, you know, Kim, I've been communicating with him. He's getting his decrees ready for the next year. They pick about 3 decrees that they speak out as a body every service. And he was just asking me how to vet them, you know, for right English and all that. And anyway, all that's possible because of our union. You know, in some ways people say, you're going to keep going? A lot of people stop by here now that they've seen this building. Are you still going to rebuild? I go, yeah. And so some of them are going like, why? And I thought, well, for the sake of children yet to come, it's a small sacrifice. It's, what else could we do? And frankly, may I just say, we really don't have a lot of problems that a lot of church bodies have. We really do like each other and get along. Anybody else? Enrico, I was going to call on you if you didn't come.
I knew it. You were about to call me. Yeah, I just want to thank God for everything. I'll start by thanking Pastor John and hearing God's voice and obey the time that God spoke to him and God at the same time spoke to me way back 24 years ago. I noticed that God is doing something great in my life every 7 years of my life. Starting when I was 7, he called me and spoke to me clearly as if God is sending me already when I was still 7. I started preaching the gospel, sharing it to my teachers, to the elderly. I feel like I'm already on my 50, 60 years old while I'm still 7. And I ask God, why? Why do I feel this way? Can I have a chance to live my childhood life, childhood feeling of growing normally as the same way as the other? But God is clearly speaking to me like, I have something that I have planned for you. And every year, every 7 years, those are the major events, major things that God is showing me and God is fulfilling. Until I will fast forward my sharing here when we met. Because when I was like, when I was 9 years old, I was at the school, of course, at the fourth grade. I was sitting on that rock and I looked up and I say, and I heard the voice of God saying, someday I will take you to the nations of the world. I'll take you to the United States. Lord, how can I go there? I am from a remote area. I am from a very poor family that sometimes we cannot even have our good meal on the table. Like breakfast, we just pour water and salt on it so we can survive and have our breakfast or the whole day. Then I'm working as like carrying those heavy chaff of a rice for me to survive, earning five pesos, and that's about 2 cents. 2 cents for every load that I do. So I would say from that time, I realize that God is not looking on who you are. He's not looking on what status of life you have. But he's looking on your heart on how you will obey him when he calls you to do for something that he had already prepared for you. That you will not have to worry about how will it happen, because he can make it happen for you. So I noticed that every time there is something going on in my life, and when I come to him, and then he will say, I'm preparing you for something. And when I say, yes, Lord, let it be. I'm willing to obey whatever it is. Let your will be done. And it's happening every 7 years of my life. We came here in South Dakota 2017. Before we came here, I talked to Pastor Jen. I said, we are heading there in South Dakota. He told me, what will you do there? You have nothing to do in here. We're just a small city, Sturgis. I know, but I think God has something for me. Let's do it this way. At first, I will help you at church for a couple of years. So that's why you saw me cleaning the church, repairing all those, even though it's burned already, but I know what I did there was recorded in heaven, right? Did you see that renovation there? Oh, on top of that, we made it. I mean, and we made the floor clean up and all of it. But that happened because God had something to do with me. He prepared me, humbled me. He had done everything, you know. It's the way that while I'm waiting for those things that he had planned for me, I just enjoy doing it. Without thinking about myself on how can we survive, how can my family survive here in South Dakota. We don't even know if there's South Dakota before in the United States. Never heard. But we know it's Los Angeles, New York, Las Vegas. When we heard Sturgis, South Dakota, where is that? But then God spoke to me when I got like, not in trouble, but I've done everything in California to survive until I felt this is slavery. This is not what I'm looking for my own comfort. But then I asked the Lord, Lord, what's your plan for us? Why am I here? Then God still speaks, I'm after the soul that you are reaching. Every time you work for this company, I want you to speak, to open your mouth and speak the word to these people. So my calling since I was 7 years old is to be a mouthpiece of God and share the love of God, share the word of God, so that there will be souls to be saved and be part of the kingdom of God. It's never ending. Then I move here and I just entrust it to God. And I said, Lord, what is your plan for us here? I just commit to you everything. God spoke to me and said, open your business. I will bless your business. I opened my business. In 2019, since then, God poured out a lot of projects. I'm doing it by myself with the two angels with me when I carry those heavy cement, heavy loads of wood. when I look at back and I said, how did I do this by myself? But I believe the strength of the Lord is always there. The wisdom of the Lord is always there to fulfill what he promised me. I would provide every need you have. From that time, I was able to do what I desired to do, to help other people, to help my relatives, to send money in the Philippines, to help other pastors, missionaries. I started doing it. Until now, God is showing me something big, that he will fulfill it through us. Bringing back when he was here on earth, when he fed the 5,000. Just this early morning, while I'm taking shower, and I just heard the voice saying, feed the 5,000, like I did. How will I do that, Lord? Then I shared it to my wife. God is speaking to me. What is that? This is a major event. Feed the 5,000. 5,000. How about their husband and wife? How about their children? That will be 15,000. That will be 15,000. Feed 5,000. How would that happen? I will provide it for you. Now God spoke to me and I said, you will do that someday. And you know what? You did not see me for two, three Sundays here. And it started that what God has called me to do in the past. It started from there at the airplane. Whoever will sit beside me will definitely hear a word from me. I just got that courage that I didn't even do that before. When I sit on my chair, I will be just by myself and sleep all the time, so I will not be, you know, bored by flight. But at this time, I'm way awake and talk to them. Then I just like started, having those ideas. When I went over there, I was able to gather people, like more than 20 of them, just listen to the word, and they were inspired by the word of God. After that, while we're eating at the restaurant, I overheard this group of 8 Bible school students on a known theological seminary that's called ATS, Asian Theology Seminary. And while they're talking, and then I can hear the voice of the Lord, say, share the words that I am putting into your heart and speak it to them. I have something for them. Just get up. I'm eating. We're enjoying eating. And then I hear that voice, speak, stand up and speak and talk to them. You know what I did? I'm eating that, okay, I'll stand. I talked to them right now. Excuse me, I don't know you. You don't know me. But I'm here to speak to you that God has a word for you. God wants to encourage you. Hold on for a while. This will just take only 5-10 minutes. Then I start speaking and they all recorded it through video because they were surprised. When I'm talking, I just speak the word to them. You are called to do this. I overheard this seminary. I've been through the seminary. And we desire to be in this called theological seminary. But I'm done with it already. I've been through different places. And now I'm at the present. I'm just doing what I was called to do. And now this is the challenge for you, I told them. If you are not called to do this, you better quit now. But you, if you are on it, you know you are called to do, to be a minister of the Lord someday. God is looking for a laborer. And you should be committing yourself and go whatever struggles that you may have. If you know you are called, just go for it. Do not be discouraged. And they're all amazed and say, well, they were amazed and were encouraged and were happy to receive the word. And they said, yeah, thank you so much, Pastor, for sharing that to us. After that, they searched me on Facebook, and every day I'm receiving messages. Do you know that the recorded message that you spoke to us has been blessed, the whole staff of the Bible school, and now they're looking for you, that someday you will speak with us. And anytime you come back here in the Philippines, please talk to us. Meet us. And you know why is that? And now this morning, I just said, feed 5,000. God is providing the money to feed those 5,000. It's on the way already. It just needs obedience for me to stand up and speak to these people. Speak to the government people. It's time for you to introduce God to these people. It's God's womb they need. It's not material things. It's not anything. But, you know, in the Philippines, when you say, oh, there's gathering here, there's food to be served here, there's something, they will come. But that will be the chance for us. Feed the 5,000, but feed them with the word of God first. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. So I can see now how God, and so I'm thankful for Pastor John's obedience. That time when he gave me $200, I know those money came from you who faithfully giving to this church, so that those money will be sent in Albania, in Burma, in the Philippines. I am the product of that faith you have, that you have planted that seed in my life. And now, here I am, be able to do what God is speaking to me. As Pastor Jan says a while ago, that they may be one. You know what? As you can see, we are the only Filipinos here. But you know what? I don't feel like I am different from you. We are one. I have the U.S. citizen passport. I'm also American like you. I don't feel myself different from you now. I can feel how one we are. And with this journey of our lives and fulfilling what God's called us to do, we are all together in fulfilling this. Amen.
All right. I'm going to try to pull this off. Nope, maybe not. So, don't underestimate the power of being thankful. And don't underestimate the power of your own words to encourage somebody. You don't have to take them all the way to heaven. Just, we had a young man, Gable Gillette, was in our men's meeting once. I said, what's the Lord saying to you? Shut your eyes and just listen and see if he shows you a picture. And Gable says, I see us walking through a garden and there's leaves. And as we kick up the leaves, the wind blows them farther. And I've held on to that the rest of my life. Just kick up the leaves around you and the Spirit of God will take them farther. All right, I need to focus on this here. So my son sent me this little video, and I'm going to play it for you. Okay. It does look like it's off. Enrico? So, as that fires up, where was I? No. So my son sent me this, and he said, Dad, I've just been sobbing watching this. And I thought, oh, boy, I'm kind of busy right now. I had a funeral I was doing for Mitch Jeffrey, and so we're almost there. We'll let it warm up just a little bit more and it gets a little brighter. And then I sent it to a few people, sent it to my friend, and I'm going to read you a text that he sent back. Can I just say, don't underestimate the value of a card, a text, a call, a smile, a greeting. In fact, smiling is a big deal. I walk through this town, and if you'll just look directly at people, a lot of people are just walking like they're not. But every once in a while, they'll glance, and if you're looking right at them, it's amazing how they'll respond back. And then just put a smile and say, man, how are you? And it's, don't underestimate that.
Wait. Go. Easy, dear. Look forward. Keep it even. Right there, even. There you go, boy. Ready?
Yes.
Now you're just going to start turning. Keep the gas. Start turning. You got a big, use your hands like this. Shuffle. There you go, boy. Look at you. Keep the gas. Keep the gas. There we go. Now we're gonna speed it up a little. Keep where you're at. Keep on the gas. Keep on the gas. All right, ready?
Yes.
You're gonna go clutch, off the gas, and push the clutch. Off the gas, push the clutch. Now you're gonna go up to third. Up, over third. Now gas. Even transition. Ready? There you go. Go, go, go. Yay! You got it, boy. Keep going. That's what I'm talking about right there. Keep going.
I love you, Dad.
I love you, buddy. Keep going. Keep going. So you got a car to your left. All right. They're going straight. Keep going. Keep giving it gas. Keep giving it gas. All right, now you just keep driving in a circle. You're good, dude. All righty, you ready?
I love you, Dad. And so the whole theme of the Holy Spirit today has been just showing us how God really looks at us. He's teaching us how to drive. And he's not ashamed of us. So my friend, I sent it to him, and he sent this back to me. He says, God's confidence in us is what really shakes me. He puts us on display and says to our adversary, have you considered my servants, John and Bill? My friend's name is Bill. That there are none like them on the earth, blameless and upright men, ones who fear God and turn away from evil. I'm going to put them in the driver's seat and teach them how to drive, and I will be with them through it all, speaking to them, helping them to trust me even more in every season of life, in the midst of the success and failures, dreams fulfilled and disappointments, life and death. You, Father, are too wonderful for us. Our eyes have not seen, and our ears have not heard. It has not entered in our hearts all the things which you have prepared for those who love you. Isn't that awesome? I'm driving. I'm driving. You're driving. He's not ashamed of us. He totally trusts in us. You or I, with all the logic of our brain and all our deductions, would never trust each other. I'd never trust mankind for nothing. Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father and said, now it's up to my kids to fulfill all my plans. Is that amazing? Take courage. Take courage. Take faith. Don't underestimate. He doesn't have plan B. It's just us. And we're driving. Father, we give you thanks. Today, Thanksgiving goes before you. Every morning, like Barb, I wake up and give you thanks. All of us do. And throughout the day. But something's taking place right now. We're stepping up because we feel and know that you have confidence in us. We don't need to understand it. We don't need to evaluate our life and judge our life right now and say we're not qualified. We won't do that. We're just going to trust you. We're going to believe in you. We're going to work real hard to believe in you, that in your infinite wisdom and knowledge and goodness, you know what you're doing. And you've entrusted us with your name, with your power, with your authority. And you said, go. Go. I'll help you. But you're going to drive. And we accept this into our hearts. We believe. We really do believe. Thank you, Jesus. I'm grateful. Amen. I'm grateful for you. God bless you. I love you.